This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. What's that sound?
Need to stop covering for Clinton. Please, for the sake of the country, tell her, stop lying.
Ron, it was breathtaking. The Fox News interview with Chris Wallace. Just, I don't know if I gasped watching it, but it was staggering that she would claim that she did not send or receive classified material on her server. After all of this, even when he showed Comey saying she wasn't telling the truth, she still denied it.
Yeah, I pulled out the last of my hair watching it. When you talk
it
to her,
looks like it.
God. When you talk to her people, they'll say, you know, what she did was she was parsing. She was talking about the fact that he said she didn't lie to the FBI. And I'm like, you know, this is not the day and age to be parsing. And a parse is another word for a lie because she's knowingly misleading. She did violate policy. We know that. She did expose U.S. secrets on a rogue server.
Ron, why did she do that? No, why did she lie when she knew she was lying and she knew that everybody knew that she was lying? Why didn't she just brush it off and say, I made mistakes. I'm terribly sorry. I've been chastened by the FBI director. I didn't break any laws, but sometimes I have to hold myself to a higher standard. I won't make the same mistake again. Why can't she say that? Her own supporters are asking that question.
I don't know. That's been a mystery now for what has been 18 months. That I think she'd put this election away a long time ago if she had come clean on email. Now all she's got to do, especially after last week, look, she had a great convention, a very aspirational message, and nicely tucking in the argument that Donald Trump is not fit to be president, an argument that I really agree with, that a lot of Democrats, a lot of independents, even a lot of Republicans agree with, that he would be a bad man to be president. So all she's got to do now is get out of her own way. Why underscore what the one thing is that's holding her back from being president, which is how dishonest she's been about the scandal? So politically it would make sense, ethically it would make sense, just to say exactly what you said. What I did was wrong. Here's why I did it. It violated policy. It exposed U.S. secrets. I did it because Republicans, they were going to be mean to me. But you know what? I got to be better than Republicans. And then move on. Why go back to the 1990s and do a Clintonian parse that might have worked when there was gatekeepers and it was a different political environment? It doesn't work now when every member of the public has access to what she has said before, has access to the records that show that, you know, what she did was wrong and against policy. I don't get it. You know what really frustrates me is all the Democrats who call people like me frustrated with Clinton. And I want to tell them what I did with this column. Stop calling me. Call Brooklyn. Tell them to quit lying. And you quit covering for her. Force her to do the right thing so that you can win this race.
Just to be totally clear, that congressional hearing on July the 7th, Trey Gowdy asked Director Comey, is it true that what she said, nothing was marked classified? And he said, that's absolutely not true. That's from Jim Comey from the FBI. So that's the coming out of his investigation. Do you think part of it, though, Ron, is that she has assessed in this race that she is up against someone that she can safely hold the ball and not go into detail and not talk about what exactly she did because she's getting away with it against Donald Trump?
Yeah, that is why. But I'm afraid she might be making a bad assessment for two reasons. One, that's been their assessment from the beginning. I literally had senior officials on the record, or not on the record, on background a year ago saying, or more than a year ago, saying that trust doesn't matter, that Bill Clinton won even though he was trusted less than the two people he ran against. What they don't realize is the world has changed. And we now see that trust does matter. It's really destroyed her credibility. Now, she could still win, even by continuing this parsing and this lying, but then she's going to be leading a country where two-thirds of the people don't trust her. And you can't transform our politics. You can't do half of the things that she wants to do that need to be done if people don't trust her. So that's the miscalculation they're making. They're only worried about winning this news cycle. They're only worried about winning on election day. They're not thinking about what you're doing to undermine not just her credibility, but the credibility in our political system and the Democratic Party.
Gene.
Yeah, Ron, this is Gene Robinson.
Listen,
you have covered the Clintons longer than just about anybody. I won't let you off the hook here. Give us an insight into the psyche. What is going on inside the collective Clinton head on this rather elementary point?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. First, I'm not one of these Clinton haters. I respect the Clintons. I think I know where they're coming from. I just don't condone what they're doing. And here's where they're coming from. They have been under attack for 30 years now. A lot of it is self-inflicted, but much of it isn't. For example, Vince Foster. I knew Vince Foster. Good man, decent man, cared about his country, cared about the Clintons. He had some mental issues. Unfortunately, he killed himself. It was a tragedy for his family. It was a tragedy for the Clintons. And the Clintons have been accused of murdering him. That's going to create some kind of scar tissue. And a lot of these scandals...
Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, a place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live. Martinez live.
Well, hello, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. It's always great to have you along with us. Robert Spencer is with us right now, the director of Jihad Watch, a program of the David Horowitz Freedom Center, and author of 14 books, including 2 New York Times bestsellers. Latest book is titled The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS. Robert studied Islamic theology, law, and history for more than 25 years. He's trained the FBI and other government officials on the threats of jihad in America. Robert Spencer, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Hey,
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much. I just got back from Ireland, and so I'm getting through the jet lag process ever so gently. You know how that goes. But anyway, hey, Robert, so much is going on, you know, last week. I mean, every time I turn the television, if it wasn't what happened at Nice, you know, we've got an attempted coup in Turkey. You know, at one point, I'm looking at a tank there going head-to-head with about 60 people, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, if something goes wrong here, we could see a slaughter on live television. I mean, it just was absolute insanity.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, the thing is that the Islamic State has declared war on the West, on the United States in particular. This kind of thing is becoming more and more common, and it's just going to keep becoming increasingly common. And it's only exacerbated by the fact that our authorities, those who have sworn to protect us, are in complete denial about the motivating ideology and the nature and magnitude of the threat in general.
Well, for you who have studied Islam for 25 years, I mean, it took Thomas Jefferson a couple of moments, I guess, or a short study of the Quran to understand the ideology of Islam was such that it's incompatible with a democratic society.
Yeah, and the thing is that nobody wants to acknowledge that there are elements of Islamic law that really are incompatible with a democratic society. Look at the controversy over what Newt Gingrich said about Sharia right after the Nice attack. Certainly, I want to, if there was anything, if he's saying something that's unconstitutional, that violates any of the protections of the American legal system, then I'm not in the least advocating that. But he was identifying a genuine problem, and that is that there are aspects of Islamic law that deny the freedom of speech, deny equality of rights to women, deny equality of rights to non-Muslims, call for the deaths of, gays. All these things we're going to have to face sooner or later and decide whether we want to allow Sharia, allow people who believe that Sharia should be the law of the land into the country, or whether we need to step back and think that that might not be the wisest thing in the world to do.
But Robert's already here. I mean, we've got certain cities that are run, if even in the back rooms of it, by Sharia. I think in Texas, they came out front and just said, "Hey, we want Sharia law." And of course, it got voted down. But we already see this happening in some communities where they're already starting, like Paris, to create these no-go zones. That's in the United States, and it's like, wait a minute, people are putting their heads in the sand here and denying what is obviously taking place and taking a foothold. Now, what are we going to do? Are we going to wait until this metastasizes so deep within our culture that we're talking major surgery, or can we extract it sooner than later?
Well, I think that the answer to that question lies in the answer to the question of, are we going to even admit and have a public discussion about the incompatibility of Sharia with a free democratic society? Right now, that's denied everywhere by everyone, and you're accused of all sorts of ridiculous things, accused of being hateful and accused of being bigoted and Islamophobic if you even raise the question. When really, it's common sense. It's right in front of our faces still that exactly. The Saudi system is a Sharia state. Iran is a Sharia state. These are repressive, authoritarian societies that institutionalize discrimination against women and non-Muslims. Do we really think it's going to be different with Sharia here?
Yeah, and here they're taking advantage of the refugee situation to infiltrate our American democracy, take advantage of our laws, and pretty much use it against us. And, and you go, wait a minute, what's wrong with this picture? And as you say, because of political correctness and other issues, we can't have a fair conversation about this. It's just being thrust upon us. And then we're Islamophobe. Donald Trump reasonably says, hey, look, we need to vet these people. And the president says, oh, no, we're vetting them. We've got it all handled. And then you've got the security personnel coming out and going, we're not even close. And so who are you to believe, the president or the guys whose job it is to do the job and say they can't do it? And so because Donald Trump says, hey, look, can we hit a pause button here? You've offended everybody. And the Democrats are going crazy and they're making this a rallying cry. And now he's just immigrant crazy. He's anti-immigrant and all that. And it wasn't anything close to what he said.
It's kind of amazing, really, that he was compared to Hitler. And it's as if he's the worst person in the world, when Hitler actually stopped Jews from emigrating from Germany so that he could kill them. And right. Donald Trump wants to stop Muslims from immigrating to the United States so that they won't kill us. And these things are supposed to be equivalent.
Go figure, huh? Our world is turned upside down because of all this and this administration where, you say, well, wait a minute, doesn't the president take a vow to, his job, his number one job is to protect the citizens, we the people. What's wrong with this picture?
Yes, exactly. And why is it that even basic moves to protect the people are condemned now as bigotry and hatred? And it's as if you have to be in favor of endangering large numbers of Americans by bringing over untold numbers of Islamic jihadi, or else you are politically incorrect and ruled out of polite society. It's an absurd situation, really.
Well, Robert, let me ask you this, because this is something that I've been, chewing on for quite a while here regarding the refugee situation. When any country has been in crisis, America, out of our own DNA, our natural inclination is to respond and help. But sometimes I think we've gone overboard here to where we've opened ourselves to all kinds of issues. And we are assuming that just because people are in trouble, we need to bring them here to America instead of helping them in their own home country. Is it easier, I think, and I think it is, to help people in their own home country as opposed opposed to displacing them here, 1,000 miles away, away from their family, away from their culture, and, you know, just assume that, hey, lucky for you, you get to come to America. And they go, hey, you know what? I don't care for America. I got to tell you, my grandfather, he was Mexican, and that's, he lived and died for Mexico. He came to America in 1900, paid one penny crossing into Texas for his citizenship, but he told my grandmother, he says, do not bury me in America. I do not want to die here in America. If I'm going to die, I want to die in Mexico. And now this is my grandfather, who had a lot of land that the federales, the Mexican government, came in and stole his property acre by acre, to where after it was said and done by...
This report is brought to you by S.C. Johnson. Mosquitoes. We all know they can cause itchy, irritating bites during the summer season. But did you know only female mosquitoes bite your skin? Or that the chemicals in your breath can attract mosquitoes? Scientists at the S.C. Johnson Entomology Research Center have been studying insects for 60 years and have found that body chemistry, proximity to water, and the color of your clothing can make a difference if you want to avoid bites. Dr. Maud Meyer, an S.C. Johnson bug expert, is here to share some tips to help you protect your family from mosquitoes this summer.
Our research at SC Johnson shows that personal repellents that contain DEET offer the best protection against mosquito bites. DEET affects the scent receptors in mosquitoes, making it difficult for them to recognize humans as a food source. In order to best protect your family, look for effective personal repellents like OFF that contain DEET.
For more facts and tips on avoiding mosquito bites this summer, visit www.scjohnson.com/mosquitoes.
If you're considering going back to school, ask yourself the following questions. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits you need transferred? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Arizona State University is the perfect school for you. Arizona State University offers over 100 highly ranked degree programs 100% online. You'll earn the same degree as you would on campus, from wherever you are, on your schedule. Plus, ASU Online accepts most transfer credits. For information, call 1-800-933-1430. Learn for yourself why the Wall Street Journal ranks ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates, and why 90% of ASU grads are recruited within 90 days of graduation. Learn to grow, learn to succeed, and learn to thrive at Arizona State University. To learn more about ASU Online degrees, call 1-800-933-1430. That's 1-800-933-1430.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of the lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention, prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries: aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one used the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851.
Are you worried about how dangerous the world has become? In these days of terrorist attacks, natural disasters, or even a future collapse, you need to be medically prepared to keep your family safe. I'm Joe Alton, MD of store.doomandbloom.net, where you'll find an entire line of uniquely designed medical kits and supplies for when help is not on the way. For everything from individual first aid kits to the ultimate family medical bag, go to store.doomandbloom.net today. That's store.doomandbloom.net. You'll be glad you did.
Oh, well, he's very popular, Ed. The Sportos, Motorheads, Geeks, Bloods, Wastoids, Dweebies, they all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. Our visit with Robert Spencer, the director of Jihad Watch, a program of the David Horowitz Freedom Center, continues. Robert, before the break, we were talking about the complexities of refugees, and especially, the idea of Muslims who come to this country. And I'm not telling them to tear out pages of what they believe in. If that's what they believe in, they, stay in your country, go make it work, and let's see. But if you're going to come here and threaten us, which they've made it obvious. They said, look, we want to come after America. And some would say, are we rather stupid to let them come in when they've already said they hate us and they want to destroy us?
Yeah, this is another thing. The Islamic State has already threatened that they are going to flood Europe with refugees. Mm-hmm. And they don't mean they're just going to overwhelm the welfare systems to the point of collapse, although that's also part of it. But they also have boasted about embedding jihadis among the refugees. And we have seen it happen. Two of the attackers in Paris in November, where they killed 130 people, had just come into Europe as refugees in October. And there's just no way to vet, no way to distinguish these people from peaceful refugees. And so we're just setting ourselves up for disaster.
Well, and you've got these latest episodes of radicalization that are almost materializing out of nowhere. Like the situation in Nice, what we're hearing about, is this guy was eating pork and drinking, just weeks before, and, so he was a bad Muslim. Maybe he thought he was going to redeem himself by running people over there, in Nice.
Absolutely. And this is something that's been completely overlooked in the coverage about it. That people say, oh, look, see, he was promiscuous, and look, he was drinking, and he was doing drugs. He didn't go to mosque. This is not an Islamic jihad attack. Well, in reality, Islam teaches that jihad is the great deed that outweighs every other deed. And so in Islam, if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, you go to paradise. But if your bad deeds outweigh your good deeds, you go to hell. So here's a guy with a lot of bad deeds lining up on the one side of the scale, and he thinks, I can expiate my sins, I can get to paradise if I do some great act of jihad.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfectly clear from an Islamic standpoint, and it's our willful ignorance about it that hamstrings our response.
Of course, the same thing happened in Orlando. You got a you have a Muslim who's going to gay bars. He, the stories now you hear is that he tried to pick up several men. He was, his father thought he had homosexual tendencies. All this is coming out, and of course, during the time of Ramadan, I guess when you commit jihad, then you get a bonus.
Oh, yeah, Ramadan is the month of jihad, because Ramadan is the time when you're supposed to be dedicating yourself, rededicating yourself to Allah, and strengthening your commitment to Islam. And so it's the perfect time for a jihad strike, because that is considered to be an act of devotion to Allah, to wage war against the infidels, as is commanded in the Quran.
Now, Robert, you're training FBI, other government agencies, trying to bring them up to speed in what's going on, but yet we're also aware we have a president. People want to argue whether or not he's Muslim. I can't look into his heart. That's not my job. But I can look at the fruit of his deeds and his policies, and he clearly is very Muslim sympathetic. And I would think that he, given a choice between Christians and Muslims, he's going to lean toward supporting Muslim ideology, and that seems to be very clear in what we've seen in the last 8 years of his administration, 7+ years, I should say. And there's also evidence within the government itself. There are many Muslims within the upper echelons of our federal government. Is it any wonder that we're not so influenced and so pro-Muslim with some of these policies?
Yes, and it's worse than that, actually, because You know, you said I train FBI. I used to do that. I don't do that anymore, and I don't do it anymore because I was fired in 2011, and that was at the demand of Muslim groups who wrote to John Brennan, who was then the Homeland Security czar and, of course, is now the head of the CIA, and demanded that I be fired, that other people who spoke about the motives and goals of the enemy be fired. And now there is not a single syllable, there is nothing in counterterror training that would give you the impression that there is any threat from Islamic Jihad. There is no mention of Islam or Jihad in any counterterror training in any U.S. agency. And so our law enforcement and intelligence officials are abysmally unaware, unless they educate themselves on their own, of the motives and goals of those who have vowed to destroy it.
Well, even if they educate themselves on their own, Robert, if they're out of step with policy in this administration, they're putting their jobs on the line.
Precisely. And so we're in an extremely vulnerable situation because it is official government policy not to know anything about the foremost threat the nation faces. And it's just a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, how do we find ourselves in this kind of situation? You know, we've talked with Dr. Sebastian Gorka, who you know, on many occasions, and he's aghast that we can't identify or refuse to identify the enemy, and we're just setting ourselves up.
Well, this all happened because the Islamic groups in the United States, like the Council on American Islamic Relations and others, they have very skillfully portrayed themselves as victims and claimed that they are being targeted in a way that is akin to racist discrimination against blacks or other minorities, and that therefore counterterror efforts have to be dismantled or rolled back because they are inherently discriminatory and hateful against Muslims. And there are a lot of the American left is completely bought into this nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Well, and now we have this scenario that, you know, they're telling people, you know, if you see something, say something, but yet it, you know, we've got instances of whistleblowers getting themselves in trouble. I mean, even most recently, for example, not even a jihad situation. We're just talking Planned Parenthood. We got somebody taking video of people doing something illegal. He ends up in jail, and Planned Parenthood gets, they're off scot-free, still getting federal support. So we're sending the wrong message on so many levels time and again, and we wonder why this country is in such chaos.
Quite right. I mean, it's really, it's as if the insane are in charge, and we have insane foreign policies, insane domestic policies. Their insanity is to be out of touch with reality, and there's nothing more out of touch with reality than the Obama administration's response to the jihad threat.
Well, the RNC convention, the first night, talked about making America safe again. Rudy Giuliani was very passionate about it. He evoked some passion that we could only hope would come from our president. I keep saying that America is looking for another, you know, George W. Bush moment, standing upon the wreckage of the Twin Towers there in New York, letting them know that we were coming to get them. But that's been clearly missing, you know, from the dialogue here in this country.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it seems as if cowardice rules the day, and we do not have people who are willing to stand up and say that we're going to fight this. I mean, you know, even in the Bush administration, we went into Iraq and Afghanistan and installed Sharia as the highest law of the land in new constitution. And that's the in other words, it's as if we had gone into Germany and put Mein Kampf as the chief basis for law in post-war Germany, with the basis on which they attacked us. We have to stand instead for our own principles and values.
Exactly. I mean, we endorse things like that, and look what happened, you know, what's happening in Iran. I mean, what are we telling our allies and the rest of the people that have looked to America for its leadership?
Yes, it's demoralizing, really, and it's confusing. And it has made for this thorough confusion about exactly who it is that we're fighting and what we intend to accomplish by doing so.
Well, Robert Spencer, I cannot thank you enough for all the work that you do with Jihad Watch and everybody associated with it. We thank you so much for coming on and bringing us up to speed and keeping us informed as to what's going on. I mean, you've had 25 years of experience, and you've probably forgotten more than most of us will ever learn. And we're grateful for you being willing to share this with us. Where can the people go for more information?
I'm at jihadwatch.org. That's J-I-H-A-D-watch.org. Updated many times daily with news and commentary about jihad activity. And I've written 15 books on these issues, and they can be reached. They can be found at Amazon.com and any self-respecting bookstore.
You got it. And they'll be linked at our website, too, at BillMartinezLive.com. Robert Spencer, thank you so much for being with us. Have yourself a blessed day.
How important is it for you to take your medications at the right time of day? Very important, according to today's AARP health tip. More after this.
At Walgreens, getting diabetes testing supplies with Medicare Part B is a walk in the park. Really? Because getting what you need is quick and easy, giving you more time for other things. There's $0 out of pocket on all major brands like Freestyle and Walgreens True Metrics, and no extra paperwork. So managing diabetes becomes a stroll down easy street, or a trip to the movies, or even a day at the beach. Talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens at the corner of Happy and Healthy.
Zero out-of-pocket costs when billed to Medicare and full coverage supplemental insurance.
Some drugs are best used in the morning. Others should be taken in the evening or right before going to bed. There's a science to timing drugs to achieve the greatest benefit with the lowest risk of unpleasant side effects. It's called drug chronotherapy. So never change the timing of your drugs without first discussing it with your doctor or pharmacist. For more, go to AARP.org.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, iComp Geeks on site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks on site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks on site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks on Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
According to the Mayo Clinic, your bones are continuously changing. New bone is made and old bone is broken down. Now, when you're young, your body makes new bone faster than it breaks down old bone, and your bone mass increases. Makes sense, doesn't it? Most people reach their peak bone mass at around 30. After that, bone remodeling continues, but you lose slightly more bone mass than you gain. Now, how likely you are to develop osteoporosis, a condition that causes bones to become weak and brittle, depends on how much bone mass you attain by the time you reach age 30 and how rapidly you lose it after that. The higher your peak bone mass, the more bone you have in the bank, and the less likely you are to develop osteoporosis as you age. Well, at Bill Martinez Live, we focus on absorbability of bone-building calcium, magnesium, vitamin D3, and boron. Try our 98% healthy body, bone, and joint pack. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com, Youngevity, or call 855-305-8326.
Hey, millennials, know what you believe and why. Bill Martinez Live.
Bringing the truth to you, even though it may be hard to hear, but it's important that you wake up, America. It's Bill Martinez Live, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. You know, they are coming to America, leaving, their countries because of, what our next guest is going to be talking about, and that is The Problem of Socialism, his latest book. It is a slow creep, and it is amazing. You know, I was in Ireland, and I spoke to people there, and very fascinated with America, and they're just scratching their heads and going, what are you guys doing?
You know, the very thing that we're trying to escape to is the very thing that you guys are starting to embrace. I know it's absolutely insane. Tom DiLorenzo is with us. As I said, he's written a new book, The Problem with Socialism. He's a professor of economics at Loyola University, Maryland, and a member of the senior faculty of the Ludwig von Mises, I hope I'm saying that right, Ludwig von Mises Institute. Thomas, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm glad to be with you, Bill. I'm doing fine.
Well, this country, it's been a slow creep. We've moved more and more towards socialism, and socialism is this panacea dream, as you outline in your book, where you've got a bloated government saying they're the answer to everything.
Yeah, it's kind of shocking. There was a Pew Foundation poll a few months ago that said that 69% of 30 could vote for a socialist for president. And, of course, hundreds of thousands of the young people, you know, flocked around Bernie Sanders when he started promising them free health care, free education, free groceries, and, you know, whatever else. And Hillary Clinton is promising $5,000 per baby now to be invested by the government. And then as soon as the baby reaches voting age of 18, they get the money. Mm-hmm. And so there seemed to be no limit to it. And so I wrote this book, The Problem with Socialism. It's very easy to read. Aimed mostly at the millennials and their parents, who you know, of course, didn't live through the Cold War and don't seem to know anything about socialism. But all they need to do really is read something on the internet today about socialist Venezuela and the horrible economic implosion that's occurring there right now.
Exactly. Well, like I told you, I just got back from Ireland, Tom, and we were doing a tour around the city. And as the tour guide was taking us, you know, and showing us different buildings, talked about how they started. I mean, these beautiful buildings that were, you know, developed by entrepreneurs there in Ireland, and how the government, and he didn't even, you know, it's all very casual. It was like, this was, you know, back then, this building was, you know, a functioning medical hospital, and it was the dream and vision of this particular Irishman, and now this federal government had taken over these buildings. I mean, this was time after time after time where the government came in, and just, it's like The Blob, you know, when we were kids growing up. Remember that movie, The Blob?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of absorbed, you know, the country. And they're all laissez-faire about it to a degree. And, you know, and I turned to my buddy, I said, this is what happens with socialism. Government just comes in and swallows people's dreams and everything. The only thing they couldn't swallow up is Guinness. Guinness is just so massive, and they made a 200-year lease arrangement, I think for like 45 pounds. I mean, it's unbelievable what they pay per year. And I'm sure they're going crazy like they are here in California, where I happen to be, you know, broadcasting from this week, you know, with Proposition 13. The politicians there in Sacramento go nuts because they see all this revenue that they can't get.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear. I'm a Guinness drinker, so it's good to hear they're in good financial position in the future. But it's sort of like Sweden is the same thing. You know, Sweden was one of the wealthiest countries in the world in the late 19th, early 20th century. They had the highest per capita income growth in the world for about 50 years, beginning in 1870. Mm-hmm. And then they adopted, you know, the Swedish welfare state, and they nationalized a lot of industries, and the government took over, as you were describing. And in Sweden, they did not create a single net new job from 1950 until 2005, 55 years.
And what was that, by accident or something? Somebody made a mistake and a job was created?
Yeah. No, actually what happened was, you know, it finally, the whole thing imploded in the 1980s when, you know, they began printing money like mad to bail themselves out, and they created hyperinflation and 500% interest rates. And that led to a revolt, a sort of a Margaret Thatcher-style revolt, where they privatized a lot of industries, they deregulated, and they made a bit of a comeback. But their per capita income is still lower than Mississippi, which is our lowest income state in this country.
Yeah.
And that's the country, one of the countries, though, that the Bernie Sanders of the world and the Hillary Clintons of the world are touting as, you know, what we should be like.
Yeah, you know, and this is the thing that millennials, and I think other people in general, I was watching a gentleman last night in a focus group, and he said, Bernie talks to my heart. And I'm going, wait a minute. Well, okay, I understand he talks to your heart, but can you do the math? You know, already the economist said, you know, Bernie Sanders would take our 20 million and double that in lickety-split time. Does that make any impact at all on your consciousness and understanding what makes the world go round?
Yeah. Well, you should always be suspicious of a man who brags that he spent his honeymoon in Moscow in the darkest days of the Soviet Union, which is Bernie Sanders does. But, you know, my experience has been, I'm a college professor, and last semester I had some students who are Bernie Sanders supporters, and I told them, you know, I don't work for free, and my doctor doesn't work for free. How could it be that healthcare or education could be free? And honest to God, they had looks on their faces like, wow, no one ever brought that up to me. I never thought of that. And once you start explaining to these young people how much this is going to cost them, and then I put the debt clock on a screen in the classroom. You know, there's this debt clock that it goes 1,000 miles an hour, adding dollar after dollar to the national debt.
Exactly.
And they understand very quickly that they're going to be on the hook to pay that debt when they graduate and get jobs.
Right.
And so it doesn't take that much to persuade and educate some of the younger people about some of the nonsense that these political demagogues like Bernie Sanders give them. And some of them turned into being pretty resentful of politicians like Sanders, who obviously are taking them as fools.
Well, what I have seen, Tom, is that elites, you know, the socialists of the world, they need people who are groomed on entitlement to support their longevity and their survival. Without that, they can't survive. So what they do, they start with entitlements, and they just kind of suck them in, so to speak, until they tighten the noose, and then before you know it, they're engaged in a modern-day form of slavery, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. I mean, you know, Karl Marx himself, you know, everything he predicted was wrong. One of the things he predicted was that under capitalism and markets, the workers would be stuck at subsistence wages. You know, they would just barely make enough to survive and to work in the factories. And of course, but when you think about it, that's people on welfare. People on welfare are the ones who are barely able to survive. The government throws them just enough crumbs to keep them going. And, you know, they live in dilapidated slums called public housing. And that's about it. But it's the market where people have opportunity and can rise up and improve themselves. Just the opposite. But the politicians keep selling the same old thing, because it benefits them.
Well, again, let's do...
Benefits a small political elite, and the rest of the people are equal in their misery.
Exactly. And, you know, look at the war on poverty. $22 trillion it's been estimated that we've spent in the last 50-plus years, Dom. And what have we done? It's actually gotten worse. It hasn't gotten better. You know, $22 trillion, that's with a T, ladies and gentlemen, like T for Tom, okay? Lots of money here, and we're not doing any better than we were, you know, 50-plus years ago with, you know, President Johnson when LBJ introduced the program.
Well, some people are the people who run the system. You know, in Hawaii, there was a Cato Institute study said it's just 7 welfare programs, just 7 out of 120, they make $39,000 a year. So that means to get off of welfare to make it financially worthwhile, you have to get a job paying, what, 70 or 80, you know, before tax.
Right.
And welfare is going to be hired by paying them $80,000 a year.
Yeah.
So they're stuck on welfare forever. It's just not rational to ever get off of it.
Exactly. They definitely put a lid on your dreams and ambition and incentive to be the best that you can be, as they would say. Tom DiLorenzo has been our guest, professor and author of the book, The Problem with Socialism, and it'll be linked on our website at Bill Martinez Live.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockheed Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockheedPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockheedPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockheedPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
On August 19th,
my family, they deserve justice.
What is your name?
Venom.
Best-selling author Rick Warren declares, Ben-Hur has it all. Heart-stopping action. It's an emotional roller coaster.
You cannot fight them in the streets. There is a way.
Joel Osteen, senior pastor of Lakewood Church, raves, it's spectacular, compelling, and stunning.
Win the race. Win our freedom.
You should have killed me.
I will.
Stand and fight, brother!
Ben-Hur. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters, Real D 3D and IMAX 3D, August 19th.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family.
At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Give the gift of opportunity. Donate to The Y at ymca.net/give. The Y, for a better us.
Attention backpackers, on a budget, why spend $80 to $300 to pump clean survival water? Introducing the Viva Water Pump Kit from Viva Outdoor Products. Super easy to use and super lightweight at only 6.5 ounces, the Viva Water Pump Kit provides high flow rate at 1 ounce per stroke, can be one hand pumped, and is dependable and affordable at only $24.99, filter not included. Get your Viva Water Pump Kit at viba-odp.com from Viva Outdoor Products.
This is Holly Thomas, Group Vice President of Cause Marketing for Macy's. Our company is working together with the March of Dimes through March for Babies to raise money and awareness about the serious problem of premature birth in the U.S. That's why Macy's is committed to raising funds through our employees, customers, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies everywhere. Won't you please join us in March for Babies? Start a team today at marchforbabies.org.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
You know, we've all heard about the health benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in the fatty tissues of fish? Bill Martinez Live recognizes this risk and offers IFOS-certified tested omega-3 fatty acids, EPA and DHA. Insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at BillMartinezLive.com, Youngevity, or call 855-305-8326.
Across the country, on your smartphone, and around the world.
Ooh, there's a wonderful world of softness, a wonderful world of freshness. It's the wonderful.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. As always, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. All the information is right there. And if you want to be in the running for that Miracles from Heaven DVD Blu-ray disc that we're giving away, simple. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. That's my email. Just send me an email. Include your address. Tell me you want to be in the hopper. You want to be in the running, okay? We'll put you in the running for it. And we wish you all the best of luck, and hope to be sending you a copy of that DVD Blu-ray disc very shortly. Cindy Lee Garcia is with us right now. She was born in Los Angeles, raised in the Kern Mountain region of California. She's had careers in business as a church pastor for 14 years, a missionary in Malawi. She has worked as both a model and the founder of a modeling agency, and as an actress in such films as Broken Roads, Evolution of the Dead, and in the film Desert Warrior. It was that latter film that had another name unbeknownst to her at the time of its filming, and it was titled Innocence of Muslims. You may have heard about it, but what you have not heard about was the impact that it had on Cindy's life, how it threatened her, and it really all but ruined a career and a modeling agency. And Cindy is here to tell us all about it. Cindy Lee Garcia, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be on the show, and I'm just blessed to be here and hopefully to tell the world truly, you know, what's taken place in my life, and hopefully help reach out to others in America and around the world with the truth. And unfortunately, I had to learn things the hard way But I'm glad to be here today. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, Cindy, there's been so much deception around Benghazi, and it started out with this YouTube video made from a movie trailer that ended up thrusting you in the spotlight on a national level when on September the 11th, 2012, America's diplomatic mission came under attack in Benghazi, Libya, and our State Department, Hillary Clinton, the President of the United States, and others blamed it on this video that you just so happened to be involved in. That you didn't even understand. You thought it was the title of another movie, and it ends up being this very movie that becomes the center of all this controversy. And according to Hillary Clinton and Suzanne Rice and the President of the United States, was the reason that our diplomatic mission came under attack.
Yes, that was crazy. I remember the morning, September 12, 2012, when I woke up. With a cup of coffee in my hand, and I watched President Obama on the big screen, and he was telling America that a video had caused the death of our ambassador and Navy SEALs, and then all of a sudden I see my face roll across the screen. Mm-hmm. And I was in shock, and then I saw other people that had actually been in the film Desert Warrior, so I'm trying to, like, gather, you know, myself together, and, like, I was just shaking, thinking I'm being blamed for the death of our ambassador and Navy SEALs. I would never do anything like that. I'm a patriot of the United States of America, and I would never try to bring harm to anyone. I've been a pastor or had been a pastor for many years and love God, and I would never do anything to harm someone else in that way. And so that was devastating to me, and I didn't understand anything about Islam or Muslim, not anything. We didn't use any of those things, names, on set of Desert Warrior. However, when I saw the video, even on the YouTube, I didn't understand it. It made no sense to me, and I couldn't understand why these people would be so angry. I started getting death threats that they were going to sodomize me, rape me, cut my head off, put it on a pole, mm-hmm. rape my coworkers and my children. And they even had, in one of the emails sent to me, said, you know, kill the producer and we'll spare your life. And mm-hmm. I mean, it was just crazy things that were being sent. And then the most radical of all things, I think, was the fact that the Obama administration used that as their narrative for whatever reason. They chose to use that video, or if they were involved with it, I don't know any of that. But Kenneth Timmerman wrote a book, Deception, and him and I spent time together. I, you know, shared my story with him, and mm-hmm. he put the book together. He did a great job in the, you know, putting together the lies that they told, the mm-hmm. narrative that they used, the emails, and all of these things that came together in the end. It was. I'm just glad, you know, that we can look as American people and see, listen, this woman who's running for the President of the United States, she lied to us.
Yes.
She allowed our men mm-hmm. to die in Benghazi. She literally allowed them to die, then blamed me for it. Mm-hmm. I literally felt personally attacked, and my life is under attack still to this day. Mm. This thing hasn't gone away.
Right. Well, Cindy, were you in contact with Sam? It's Sam Basile, right? Is that
yes.
pronunciation? Now, were you in contact with him right away, going, "Hey, what happened? How did Desert Warrior become, blasphemous Muslim movie?"
Well, the morning of 2012, the media started calling me. I mean, I'm thinking, how did these people even get my number?
Right.
How did they, you know, who I was? So, you know, they were asking me, and I said, you know, I was in a film called Desert Warrior. It wasn't this, and I don't understand what happened, and I'm not going to do an interview right now. I need to think this thing through.
Mm-hmm.
So I ran, and first of all, I got my scripts. I kept them in my portfolio with my mm-hmm. photos and other scripts, other monologues that I had, and I reread it. And, of course, we never mentioned Muhammad or Muslims or anything like that on set. And then I also went to the phone, and I called Sam Bassell. As I knew him, I had his phone number logged into my phone, and I asked him, I said, you know, the media is coming after me. I said, why did you do this to us? And he said, Cindy, tell the world you're innocent. He said, tell them that he was tired of radical Muslims killing innocent people. And then he paused, and he said, oh, and tell them that I am from Israel. And, you know, I wasn't thinking at the time. I mean, my brain felt like scrambled eggs, and I was couldn't put everything together. And so I finally did an interview with CNN, and then Egypt. I'd done an interview via satellite with them. And then the next thing I know, there's trucks all up and down my driveway for days or weeks. I can't even remember how long, or maybe a week. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is the proof is Israel had nothing to do with the funding in this video. Later on, I read an article much later because I was so involved in talking to the media that I didn't have time to do any research of who was doing what or saying what. I just knew personally what had taken place through my conversations and what the media was asking me. But I read an article where Sam Bassell and I don't know who else it was had put out there that there were supposedly 100 Jewish donors that backed this film. That's a lie. That's a blatant lie. That did not happen. Kenneth Harriman did a great job. The information that we had given him through my court case that had proof that the money didn't come from there.
Right.
It did not come from there. And so Israel is innocent of this. You know, that was so wrong to point the finger there, and I don't get the full gist of that. I can make any assumption. I can make an assumption now because my brain cleared up a bit.
Right, right.
But,
now, is,
know,
Sam Bassell still in jail over this, Cindy?
No, he's out. He's out of jail.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because they put him in, they put him behind bars for a while, and of course now that it's obvious that it wasn't about this ridiculous movie. So for you, I mean, and explain to the audience that they overdubbed your voice, right? I mean, you didn't. It wasn't your. It wasn't you talking. It was basically they took your likeness and they reinterpreted, as Sam Bassell did, reinterpreted and juxtaposed everything to make the statements that were made in the movie Innocence of Muslims.
I personally believe that this was intended to do a lot of damage. And how could anybody not know? I mean, not me, because I was ignorant to it. I mean, totally ignorant. Our government, and I'm just going to say this, like, the only thing that I knew about, I didn't know anything about Muslims or Islam or any of that. When the Twin Towers went down in, you know, September 11th, when they went down, our government was telling us it was terrorists that took the Twin Towers down.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know Osama bin Laden was a Muslim or any of those things. I knew nothing about their religion, not at all. I'm a Christian, but the bottom line is that America has been deceived through political correctness, through terminology, words that they won't put out there to tell us who our true enemy is. That's what happened with me. You know, so I don't know. I do know this, that while we were on set of Desert Warrior, Sam Bassell told me, he goes out of the blue, he says, I'm going to show this in Egypt first. He told me that, and I was like, well, why are you going to do that? You know, we're filming here in America, and he just smiled at me, you know, and gave me this grin, and I thought, you know, well, maybe his family over there, that he, the reason that he's showing it, and then we started talking about other films, and, you know, he seemed just like a quiet kind of person. I didn't really know him too well, but and I had never met him prior.
Yeah.
And I'm an innocent individual who was deceived by this man and hurt by the Obama administration. I believe that Obama and Clinton and Rice and whoever was involved, they know about Islam. They know knew the death threats that would come against me and anybody else involved in that film.
Mm-hmm. Well, clearly they didn't care. They didn't care, Cindy. Their agenda trumped your life, your security. That's clear. 15 seconds. Can you sum up real quick a message for America regarding what you went through, Cindy?
I would say to America, do your research. I love my country. And America, let's not be blinded by who our true enemy is. Islam has radical people that are here in our country to try to destroy us.
Exactly.
And we need to be awake to that. We need to be wide awake. And, you know, we could be welcoming people. That's what America has done. But that this overindulgence of people coming into our country is just a righteous onslaught against
this nation. Well, Cindy, we're out of time. I appreciate you coming on and telling your story. It is one that America needed to hear. Cindy Lee Garcia on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Cindy.
Attention backpackers, on a budget, why spend $80 to $300 to pump clean survival water? Introducing the Viva Water Pump Kit from Viva Outdoor Products. Super easy to use and super lightweight at only 6.5 ounces, the Viva Water Pump Kit provides high flow rate at 1 ounce per stroke, can be one hand pumped, and is dependable and affordable at only $24.99, filter not included. Get your Viva Water Pump Kit at viba-odp.com from Viva Outdoor Products.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
There is an affordable alternative.